Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Post podcast. Well, barely a week goes by now without another bank selling off another bunch of toxic loans to vulture funds. We've had Ulster Bank, we've had Permanent TSB, and there's speculation that we're going to have a couple of the Irish pillar banks joined in. So just what's going on? Ian Guider, markets editor of the Sunday Business Post, joins me now. Ian, for years we've been hearing that vulture funds were going to be buying loans, and for years they've been buying commercial loans, they've been buying overdrafts, they've been buying real estate loans and debt. It's now finally turned to mortgages. We've had a lot of it, but I think more is going to come.
Yeah, if you look at the last couple of weeks alone, we've seen more than 5 billion euro of mortgage loans alone change.
But that's at a par value.
But we are talking over 15,000 loans so far. And the reason we're getting this flurry of activity is that the central bank here in Dublin and Europe's financial regulator have told the Irish banks over the last year or so, look, for the last 10 years, we've given you leeway to try and work out these loans, but we want them off your books and we want it done now. And we don't particularly care how you do it. Now, the banks themselves have tried, pretty much under pressure politically over the last number of years, to try and work through these loans, restructure them one by one, go painstakingly through financial statements with borrowers. But they've just decided, we've been told to do this by the regulator. We've worked this way before. The simplest thing to do is to kick it to touch by kicking it off to somebody else. And the most willing buyer of these loans are vulture funds.
They're outsourcing the problem. Like I've said this before. I mean, it's, you know, Permanent TSB is an organ of the state. I mean, what can a vulture fund do that Permanent TSB can't do? It's something that they haven't been able to do.
Yeah, when you think of it, you know, the vulture funds have been active in Ireland for a number of years now, the great sale of the century of commercial loans. And yet they can work through it with a commercial borrower. They can go through things quite easily. Either you take the business off somebody or the commercial property or you restructure it. However, it's a bit more difficult, as the banks found, when you have a family in a home and are struggling to repay that loan. And the alternative is, if you don't let them stay, keep in the home, you put them out onto the street or into social housing, put more pressure there. So the banks are smart people. They have tried at this. They have all the same expert and advisory firms that the vulture funds do, but what they have to do is do it in public. The vulture funds, or the investment funds as they like to be known, they can do it in private, because of course they don't have to turn up at an Oireachtas committee and justify their existence, and they can do it in private and make sure that people sign non-disclosure agreements. Now, there are people out there, and I in the last couple of days have had a great number of financial
economists,
the great, the good and the gits of Irish economics and finance, have said, well, the vulture funds are much better at doing this. Just look at the data. But I've looked at this data. Yes, statistically, the banks have repossessed more homes in the last year of the funds. However, this year, the funds have only really acquired the worst of the worst loans.
I think those numbers are skewed.
They are.
If you look at it, I mean, of course the banks have had more repossessions, and of course the banks have had more court actions, because we're only seeing the flow through of residential mortgages and primary dwelling house mortgages go onto the books of vulture funds at this point. It might even be in the next 6 to 8 months or even a year, because it's going to take them an awful lot of time to work through their data to figure out what's the status behind each individual loan. You made the point. It's fine. You go in and you buy one of these project whatevers that NAM are selling off, or IB or C sold off. You're dealing with a multi-billion euro portfolio with property debt of significant assets, and you can look, well, I know that building's worth 500 million, I can sell it for whatever. It doesn't apply when you're dealing with mortgages. And I know the Ulster Bank mortgages that they put up, that they sold the other day to Cerberus, the average debt is about 220,000 euro on it. I mean, it's not like you're selling off Grand Canal Docks.
Yeah, and this is the point. Lots of people say, well, the vulture funds can do write-offs, they can do other unique agreements. However, if I'm a vulture fund and I think I've probably picked up this loan at a 50 to 60% discount to its par value, the price of the actual house in Dublin has recovered so much, I could actually recoup much more than my outlay right away, never mind writing off debt, just by trying to evict the person and take advantage of the housing demand in Dublin. So are we saying now, hang on a moment, the Irish banks are so incompetent that we're now going to hand off this problem to vulture funds, who are going to treat people so much better? I don't imagine in 20 years' time I'm going to be ringing up Cerberus or Goldman Sachs to ask what they're doing with their property loans in Ireland.
I tell you one thing, it would take an absolute sea change in policy prescription by vulture funds. I've been to the east coast of the US where the vulture funds bought up vast mortgages, wholesale repossessions. Been to Barcelona and parts of Spain, the other great country where they bought up so many loans, wholesale repossessions. Ireland, I mean, what they bought here is on a bigger scale than what they did in both of those countries, and I don't mean per head of population, I mean in terms of quantum of money that they put in. are we now expecting them not to use the same modus operandi that they've done in every other country that they've went with in? And the big issue here, and the one we've been talking about for so long, both politically in this country, is there's still a lack of regulation.
Yeah.
And I know it's meandering through the door.
Yeah, and this is the thing, like, as you said, like, we did not coin this phrase, vulture funds. I know we get criticised for it a lot, but we didn't coin this phrase. This phrase was used internationally well before it came to Ireland. And the tactics used by these firms are standard when they go into a country, and we're now expecting that in Ireland, hang on a minute, they won't do it. And there's a very good reason why politicians, and Michael McGrath has been to the forefront of this, as have other people, and I know John McGuinness as well in the Finance Committee, along with Ed Honohan, the former taxing master in the High Court as well, has been dealing with this. There's a good reason they are looking to get these bills over the line, because they see something is going to happen down the line and they want to get these things through. The trouble is, like lots of legislation, it takes time because there are various loopholes when you're drafting these bills that you have to go through. The government has said it accepts these things and will put in amendments. But all the while this is happening, the books are being sold at an ever-increasing pace. As I said, 3 books alone sold in the space of 2 weeks. Bank of Ireland has said, well, there's no other option for us. We're going to have to consider selling a loan book. AIB could consider another loan book. And there are other institutions here in Ireland who might think, you know what, we've got loans we could offload too.
You were writing at the weekend about David Hall and the Irish Mortgage Holders Association through another entity called iCare, I think, trying to come up with some sort of mechanism to take some of the bad loans without them going into the hands of an Apollo or a Cerberus or a Lone Star or whoever else.
Yeah, David Hall has really tried in the last year or so to put together a charitable venture, so a so-called friendly vulture fund that would take over the worst performing loans from the banks. He's not the first person to have a look at this. There have been other people out there. Lots of people have concentrated on mortgage to rent, which has only in the past year or so taken off, where you now have hundreds of people going through it rather than dozens. The difficulty is, when the mortgage to rent schemes were drawn up, house prices were so much different, people's incomes are much lower, so the scheme itself, the scope of it has just not dragged in
people. An awful lot of people are just outside it.
And that's the thing. Like, there are solutions. The banks probably could do more of this themselves without outsourcing it to even to David Hall or some of these other funds. If that was changed, what they've decided is, look, we've now got carte blanche from the regulator, tacit support from the Department of Finance, who is the shareholder in all of this, and we're going to go through it. And it's much easier then for people to criticise Michael McGrath and his bill, to criticise other bills out there as well.
I keep hearing two things about the bills to regulate, because at the moment, you know, the servicing agents are subject to regulation, but the funds who own the debt aren't. So it's a bit of a loophole in it. And I keep on hearing two things. Number one, it doesn't matter in the slightest because they're already regulated. And number two, if you see all the broker notes and what the banks are saying, if you regulate us, the price we get will go down. Those two things don't correlate.
No, what people talk about is the code of conduct and of mortgage arrears. Now, I was around when that was launched, and one of the reasons that was brought in was to stop the banks and anybody else harassing you for your loan, that you could only call people a couple of times a day. It doesn't matter whether it's a vulture fund or a bank calling you a couple of times a day. It's what they're saying to you. Are they saying to you, come in and we'll give you a long-term restructuring agreement that will knock off some of your debt, or we'll give you an extension of the term? Or are they saying, come in and we're going to foreclose on your loan unless you cough up the money in 24 hours. That's the difference. The vulture funds, yes, technically their servicing agents will have to go ahead with code of conduct of mortgage arrears and other legislation where you can't cold call people 24 times a day at all hours of the day and call to their workplace. Or are we really talking about making sure that the vulture funds don't rip up contracts and take advantage of vulnerable people who have been in distress for a long time? And look, first off, it should be said there are people out there who just won't pay, who have this thing about loans. They are a minority of the case. Even David Duffy, the former head of AIB, said only 20-odd percent of those cases are. It's the real people who are affected.
If you look at those Ulster Bank numbers, there was a significant portion of those had 3 restructurings. Now, you can only get 3 restructurings, even 1 restructuring,
if you're fully engaged.
Yeah. So it's not a case of that. Listen, finally, Arista is in the news this week, trying to raise €800 million from its shareholders. It's endured a torrid 2 years. I mean, it lost €1 billion over a couple of hours in its share price early last year. And in the last 2 or 3 months alone, it's lost another couple of €100 million from its share price. It now wants to raise €800 million from those shareholders. What's going on?
Well, the analysts really want to know that, because they have been the most critical people of the company in the last couple of years, more so than the media. Arista's problems have really sprung from the fact that it expanded probably far too quickly. Its former management team spent an awful lot of money buying businesses in America, buying and building bakeries across Europe, and the market turned completely against them. And it built up all of this debt around $1.6 billion, and then its earnings collapsed. This is a company that would have made around earnings of $600 million, now lucky to do half of that. And the fact of the matter is, it was in danger of breaching its banking covenant. So it realized, we got to go and try and restructure ourselves in a couple of ways, one of which is to grow your earnings, probably unlikely in the market they're in. So the only other way is to go and tap people for money. $800 million, an extraordinary sum of money for a company to try and raise from shareholders. Its share price, €70 about 5 years ago, barely clinging on to £7 this week.
A penny for the thoughts of Owen Killian.
I know. Well, he has a lot of time to spend in his house in Dublin to look back on his career in Arista. But Gary McGann, the new chairman, and Kevin Toland, the new chief executive officer, they're going to have a really big job on their hands to convince people to stick around with him. Yes, there's been a bit of a turnover on the share register, so new investors would have come in and seen the issues. But still, they're going to be asked to stump up a hell of a lot of money. And is the turnaround plan in place? It didn't get any outlines of it this week. They're telling shareholders, hang on till October and everything will come true. Share price has got a little bit of a bounce, probably a reflection of people are taking comfort in the fact that it did not breach its covenants, that the earnings position hasn't gotten any worse. But lots of questions to answer. And just the fact is, just how bad has this business been over the last couple of years? I don't think even the analyst community, who are normally not the type of people to raise their concerns out publicly, have shown just how concerned they are about the state of the company.
Ian, thanks very much.